Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
The title of this morning's message is called Living the Dream. Living the Dream. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2 and we'll go straight into the word. Living the Dream. It's one of those comments that people have when they're having a great time, success at work, or they are enjoying the Olympics or winning gold in the Olympics. They say they're living the dream. You know, their dreams are coming to pass. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Word of God says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We are God's workmanship in Christ Jesus. If you are a Christian today, you are God's work of art. You have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are a son of God. You are chosen by God. You are favored. Are you going to wake up in a minute? You're favored. You're going to wake up in a minute. You're favored. You're chosen. You're a son of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You're not going to get religious on me. You're going to hear what God is saying, aren't you? Aren't you? So you are chosen and gifted and anointed, a child of God. You are in relationship with the Almighty God. And it says in his word that in Christ Jesus, we're not good outside him, but if we're in him, we are made good. In Christ Jesus, he has prepared in advance good works for us. So the Bible makes it clear that even before I was born, God prepared works for me to walk in. He prepared things for me to do in his name according to his will. And so every one of us here, we need to say that God has a plan that he's not making up. He's always had it for you. That plan is to walk with him in his path that he's chosen for you. And to do good works. To do things that actually show people and show the Lord that this is what you're living for. And I think it's so important that we see that there is a predestination on our lives. That we're not here to do our own works or what other people think we should be doing. We're here to do his work. Because his work is what he has always planned for us to do. And actually we will only be fulfilled in our lives when we work out his call on our lives. God has a call on your life. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for your life. It's not just to be married, to bring up kids, to go to work. It involves more than that because it's about his kingdom and his purpose to show his greatness through your life. He wants to show how great he is and how wonderful he is through your life. So you and I have a God-given assignment. And with that assignment actually comes God-given gifts. So you are gifted. Say, I'm gifted. For the good works he's planned for me to do. And if you're gifted, that means the gifts go with the assignment. Whatever you're called to do, the works God's predestined for you, you have gifts to do that. You're gifted for the purpose for which God made you. You are special. You're unique. You have a unique gifting. Everyone important. And everyone has a part in God's plan and purpose. An assignment with God-given gifts. Now in the book of John, if you turn to John's Gospel, the dream is you and I will fulfill our God-given destiny. Amen. That's the dream. If we're going to live the dream, it's to do the works he's planned for us. Hello? Because that's the dream. That's God's dream for you and for me, that we will walk in what he has prepared for us to walk in. And they're good things. They're good things. There's good in your future if you're following Jesus. And in John's Gospel, chapter 3, John the Baptist actually said in verse 27, a man can only receive, man can receive nothing unless it's being given to him from heaven. A man can receive zero unless it's being given. You know, some of these, Mo Farah, when he won the gold last night, phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. Do you agree?
Yeah.
It's just amazing. But he said, you know, all you have to do is work hard. Well, you could say that for the rest of my life, but I'll never win the gold in the Olympics. You can keep saying it's all you work really hard and you'll be able to do this. I can never say that is ever going to be possible for me. Unless God does an Elijah on me, I gird up my loins and I beat the rain. That's a supernatural flight. But if it's left to the natural gifting, I am definitely not going to win a gold. But the gifts on my life go with my call. The gifts on your life go with the call on your life. The God-given assignment. And really, it's important that you discover the God-given gifts. You discover the call of God on your life so that you can come into that. But we cannot receive anything that hasn't been given. I can't be something I'm not. I cannot be you. You can't be me. Praise the Lord. You can only be you in God. God has a particular assignment, unique giftings on your life that God wants to draw out actually for his glory. John the Baptist also went on to say, he must increase, but I must decrease. Now, this is what makes Christians different in many ways, because we're not here to show ourselves off. We're here to show Jesus off. We're here to say, this is Jesus, not me. We're not here to parade ourselves and say, aren't I gifted? Look at me, I'm gifted. We're here to actually say, I want less of me seen and much more of Jesus revealed. I want him to be known and seen and tasted and experienced through me. So that when people meet me, they say, something about Jesus has happened to me in meeting you. So John the Baptist was saying, I need to become less obvious so that Jesus can become more. I need to kind of get into the shadows and let Jesus shine. Hello? I know he does it through us. But Jesus is to be the focus and the center and also the one that is seen through us. If you were ever invited to be part of a school play, I was invited every year to play my part in the Nativity when I was a girl. And I grew up in Africa and they still had Nativity plays out there. And I was always asked to be part of the scene. So all the children in the school were invited to be part of the Nativity play. Now, of course, I actually wanted to be either the king, one of the kings, more street cred, or Mary, and not a sheep. But every time I was invited to be part of this play, I was invited to be a sheep. Because they recognized that I wasn't gifted in that way. I've improved in the gifting of acting since. But, you know, my mum used to say when I come home, I'm always a sheep. Every time I get round to this time of year, I've got to wear that stupid furry thing. And I've got to act like a sheep and make all the noises. And my mum just said, it's okay, we'll make you the best sheep you can be. And she was really great in leveling. Some parents might take it to the headmaster and say, I want my little Tommy to be on top. Come on, he needs to be a king. Every year you make him. We're not building the right things into our children if we don't encourage them to be in the background. John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. We mustn't feed pride in children. It's very, very dangerous. So I was living the dream as a sheep. But I had to play the part I'd been given. And I do believe you and I must play the part that we've been given. And we must play it to the best of our ability for Jesus. We are living for an audience of one. We're living for an audience of one. And his name is Jesus. Jesus actually said, I haven't come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. It doesn't matter what people want me to do. It doesn't even matter what I think I'd like to do. I am here for him. And I've got gifts for the call. I've got a grace to be a mum or a dad or a husband or a wife. I've got a grace on my life to be single. I've got a grace on me to be in a worship team. I've got a grace to be in hospitality. I've got a grace to serve. I've got a grace to make money for the kingdom. I haven't personally. But these are the things that we need to understand, is that we are gifted in a predestined path to walk in that God has planned. And it's coming into the plan that is important for every one of us. And it's understanding that there's no point trying to be something that we're not called to be. We mustn't strive for something that God actually hasn't given us. It's so important because your fulfillment and your freedom is in who God has called you to be. That is where you're the happiest. And that is where his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And you can do life happy. Amen. Genesis chapter 37. We're going to read about a young man who had a dream. And you know what his name is? His name is Joseph. Living the dream with Joseph. Let's read about Joseph's life, really, and gifting. Genesis 37. And his dad was called Jacob. Jacob lived in the land, verse 1, where his father had stayed in the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he'd been born to him in his old age, and he made him a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him. They couldn't speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of corn out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brothers said to him, do you intend to rule it, reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more. There's an increase of hate going on. They hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream and he told it to his brothers and said, listen, he said, I had another dream. This time the sun and moon, the 11 stars were bowing down to me. Even creation is going to bow. I'll stop there and we'll have a look at, unpack this a little bit. Joseph, 17-year-old. We know that Joseph became the second most influential man in Egypt. He became the kind of vehicle through whom God rescued his family and the people of Israel. He also became someone with the most amazing wisdom, anointed to actually save and rescue people out of times of famine. What you could actually say, he was a brilliant administrator. And actually, administration is a gift. It's a spiritual gift, which we thank God we have in the house. Because it has, there's an anointing, there's a gifting, there's a grace for administration, and there's a grace to lead and to rule in particular areas, and even in the world scene. And Joseph, he actually ended up fulfilling the dream that God gave him that he just communicated to his brothers. He said, I've actually had a dream from God, and actually you are going to bow to me. It's brilliant. I like this dream. My favorite part is you bowing down to me. That's the bit I really like. But if we back up a bit and we see, it starts in verse 2 with Joseph had been working with his brothers and he started to badmouth them. He started to be negative about his brothers. And he came home and told his dad what they were up to. He was a telltale. And you know, often if somebody, and it could be me or you, starts to badmouth some other person, it's because we want to look better than them. Am I right? Should I put somebody else down so that you could look better? Because if they look worse, you're bound to shine. Now, Joseph was favored and loved by his father. And you could say today, you and I are absolutely 100% loved by God. He favors us. In other words, he gives us things we don't earn or deserve, but he loves to give and bless us. And Joseph had received so much favor from his father, and we have. We've received the anointing. We've received the gifting of the Holy Spirit. We've received a new life. We've received special gifts that go with our God-given assignment. We have been given so much. And Joseph's father had made him this ornamental robe. I know there's a musical out, a Technicolor dream coat. And, I suppose you could say it was a dream coat. For a dream man. He was the dream man. He was the answer. He was the one. Everybody would bow down to him. And so it made him feel extra special because he looked brilliant. His gift from his father made him look brilliant. And actually, his identity began to be in his gifting. He knew that he was extra special. Now, in the Christian life, what is important is that we know we're special to God. But we also are more and more like John the Baptist, who say, he must increase, but I must decrease. I don't want to be the one that everybody is saying did brilliant. I want Jesus to be seen through my life. And Joseph, he started to talk to his brothers, and he told them the dream, and he spoke in pride. We know he did. They hated him already because he had this gift. And he showed off this gift. Look at what I'm wearing. I'm special. But then he started to say, this is what the dream is. I'm going to be used by God. I'm going to be doing amazing things for Jesus. I. And as he was communicating this, what was coming out of his mouth was actually pride. You know, pride always is found or heard in the words people speak, isn't it? Have you ever sat with somebody, you haven't been able to get a word in because it's all about them? Have you ever done that? Often it's the most boring meal or evening you could spend because all they ever want to do is talk about them. And actually what you're hearing is pride. My dreams, my visions, what God's going to do with me, what God has done with me. Did you know how special I am? Let me just parade my coat. This gift makes me great. And it's a show-off syndrome that actually is very, very dangerous and counterproductive to your dream coming to pass. It actually stops the dream happening. And it needs dealing with. See, pride is actually the original sin. Because it started with Lucifer in heaven. And his heart got lifted up, because actually the words you speak are actually only a reflection of your heart. Ow. And he was the original sin. Satan came into sin because he had pride. He lifted himself. He said, I'm going to be like God. I'm going to go up there. I'm going to be really super special. I want to be in God's place. And you know what happened to Lucifer? He fell like lightning, Jesus said. He couldn't stay in heaven. Pride, God hates pride. Say, God hates pride. In fact, the word of God tells us in Peter, God opposes the proud. Ah. He opposes the proud. In other words, he comes against it. He works against it. Now, Joseph, he was a proud 17-year-old. God didn't say, I'm going to change my plan. He didn't say, I'm not going to do what I planned with your life. He said, that needs dealing with. We need to get rid of the pride so that you really can be used by God. Yeah? And so Joseph had some dealings to go through. He needed to change. Even though the dream hadn't changed, we need to change. How many of you could say, honestly, God has dealt with pride in your life? If you've never had that dealt with in your life, it's coming. It's on its way. Because only the humble can be used by God. And it's something that needs to be changed. Pride is linked with a fall. Okay, so in Proverbs 16, it says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So before somebody falls, there's often pride in their lives. Something goes wrong because of pride in their hearts and lives. It is something that you and I are to hate as much as God in our own lives. God wants us to hate what he hates, doesn't it? And so we're not here to boast about us, but we're here to boast about him, because he has made us special. He has given us gifts we never deserved. Pride talks too much. It's got a lot to say for itself. Humility is a listener. It's always listening to others. Pride always says, let's put that preacher down. Let's put that person down. Let's put that other person in that church down. You know, Tony doesn't know this, but he came to me and he said, are you going to get on Faith Camp platform and announce about our building? I said, well, only if I'm invited. And anyway, it's for Jesus, not for Faith Camp. Didn't I? You weren't saying anything wrong, but we're not here with this building to show ourselves off. Hello? Our pride needs to be in him and not in us and what we do. It's all for his glory. This building is actually for his glory and for his fame and not our own. Pride is a block to our destiny. We can go there. Get rid of it because God hates it. But humility opens the way to our destiny. Okay, the plans and purposes of God, if you will humble yourself and if you will come God's way, you will come into every plan and dream that God has for you. Amen. There are great things ahead of you, but humility means to accept God's way. It's not saying you're a worm. Humility is not agreeing with the devil. You're not a nothing. You're something, somebody to God. You're a son of God. You're special, but it's not in yourself. It's in him. And the difference is great. It's a huge difference, a world of difference. So in verse 29 of chapter 37, his father sends Joseph out to find out how the brothers are doing. And I like it that Joseph isn't doing the work. That's interesting. He's watching other people work. Sometimes I think that's a reflection of pride. Where people won't get stuck in and serve, it's actually an issue in their hearts. They watch everybody else work because they're better than others. Ooh. You know, I remember being challenged as a student at Roffey that my job was the laundry. And honestly, washing everybody else's smalls was not my dream job. Is it yours? I mean, imagine. Whoa. I mean, it was interesting. It was quite revealing. But I was a laundry girl. But you know, I learned to love the laundry. It was really hot in there. I used to open all the windows. But I'd sit on the machines and just pray. It was my prayer closet. I found a place where I could actually turn what in my flesh I didn't like doing into a positive experience. And none of us are too special to not do any job. Just because you're in the worship team doesn't mean you shouldn't clean loose. Hello? I'm not saying you have to. But it's we're here to show Jesus, not our gifts. It's important, isn't it? I'm only using the worship team because they're probably more obvious than many other ministries. So verse 37, no, sorry, which verse is it? Joseph comes to his brothers in verse 19 of chapter 37. Here comes that dreamer, the brothers said to him, to them. They saw him from a distance arriving. They said, let's kill him, throw him to one of those cisterns so that he'll die and that'll be the end of his dreams. They tried to kill Joseph and the dream. And Satan always tries to kill the dream. And he tries to remove God's people out of God's place. But how did his brothers know that it was Joseph from a distance? Well, he was still wearing that coat. He was still coming to the workers in his coat, gifted. He had a certain stride. Here he is. Look at me. Hi, boys. Dad sent me. He wants to know how the work's going. We've been having a cup of tea. I've been having a great time at home. And the brothers, it just they wanted to kill him. And they actually, one of them pleaded for mercy, and they didn't kill him. They threw him into a pit and then sold him to slave traders, and he went to Egypt. And actually, he ended up being exactly where God wanted him to be. But the issue wasn't really what happened to Joseph in his life. I'm interested in what happened in his heart when he was thrown into the pit. Are you? Yes. What happened to him when his brothers hated him, rejected him, did wrong against him, and he was thrown into a pit? Who put Joseph in the pit? Did God? No. There is something called sin that operates in the world and sometimes in the church. It shouldn't do, but sometimes Christians do the wrong thing. And so the brothers were in sin, but I want to tell you something that is needing to be clear in all of our lives. And that is that Joseph's own sin put him there. It was his own attitudes that created such a hatred. His own pride that actually was being opposed through these people, his brothers. And so sin, Joseph's and his brothers, got him into a pit. And he actually lost his specialness. They stole his robe, covered in blood, and they lied to their father. And their father spent years thinking he was dead and grieved until he found out that when restoration came, because the Bible's all about restoration. It's all about relational restoration. Aren't you pleased? The brothers, Joseph and the brothers kissed and made up at the end. I can't go through the whole story, but it's a good, great story with a great ending of reconciliation. But Joseph must have changed in the pit. And sometimes it's in the hardest times that we change the most. I know the times that I have been most abused, most forsaken, most disrespected, most rejected, have been the making of me. Does anybody else know that? Where actually I've had to face and take responsibility for my own actions. Actually, maybe I was a bit full of myself. God has had to deal with pride in my life since the moment I got saved, actually right up to this week. And I'll give you a story at the end of the message. My personal testimony of God dealing with me. But my pride actually is a roadblock to my destiny, the predestined works for me to walk in. Joseph's pride, he couldn't be the leader God had called him to be without humility, without resigning what he said was his. From that point on, Joseph became a slave for the rest of his life. He worked for another man for the rest of his life. But he was a free slave. Because it says, the Bible says that God was with Joseph everywhere he went from this pit. So in the pit, you and I, whether it's a pit in your marriage, whether it's a pit in your money, your finances. I talked to somebody last week. They are in a pit financially. They're not here. They're in a pit, a terrible mess financially. They're in great debt. And, you know, the man, he is owning up and saying, I think I made a mistake. He said sorry to his wife. That's humility. I've made a mistake. I am sorry. He's cried out to the Lord and he said, Lord, I'm sorry. And I said to him, if you've cried out to the Lord and said sorry, then my brother, God will deliver you. God will get you out. Because he's really good at getting people out who humble themselves. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and in due season I will lift you up. That's what's great about humility, and what's awful about pride is you can stay there for a long time until you deal with your own attitudes and your own heart. He took responsibility. He must have just said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my... Okay, he was a young man, 17-year-old. We need to expect a lot more from our young people. Confess your sins at 17. Walk with God at all ages. Come on. Sort your pride. Get it out through confession of sin. He must have forgiven his brothers. Now, that would have been a tough call. The people who are supposed to love you, who try to destroy you, God wants us to find it in our heart to forgive them because he wants to freely forgive us. The forgiveness we receive through Jesus is free. But we cannot be forgiven by God if we can't forgive others. So Joseph must have forgiven them for the favor of God to have been on his life in the future. Whoever has hurt you, whoever shouldn't have done what they did, whoever did bad to you, the only way you will be free is to forgive. It's the only way to break the chains to your past and say, Lord, I forgive. Forgive me. Then it's personal. Lord, I am so sorry. I thought myself too highly. I paraded who I thought I was. And before you, I am humbled. Before God, none of us can stand. We need to bow, don't we? Before him. Conviction is really from God. It's from the Holy Spirit. When we sin, you were wrong. Conviction says that. You did wrong. You said wrong. You thought wrong. You were wrong. If you repent, God will make it right. That's the good news. If you turn away, change, say sorry, God will make it right. Condemnation is from the devil. Can I have the next bit? Condemnation, you were wrong, same issue. Maybe the person did the same thing, but the devil comes in to condemn. You were wrong. And then he loads on accusation and guilt. You're no good. You're a failure. You always fail. And you'll never get out of this. Can you recognize the difference? It's so important. Conviction is a good thing. If you're not convicted of sin in your life, you need to pray. If you're doing stuff that is wrong and you know it's wrong, doesn't please God, Lord, convict me. Get me to a place where I'm sorry. Because godly sorrow leads to change that leads then to your destiny. Come on, church. We're going to fulfill our destiny. Amen. You're going to fulfill the plan God has for you. But it's not with pride. Pride needs to die for the life of Jesus to be raised and revealed through us. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, humble yourselves. Isn't that interesting? God says, I'm not going to do it for you. You need to go down. Bow. It's so good to kneel before God sometimes. It's always good to get on your face before God and say, Lord, I humble every part of my life before you. You see, God wants you to fulfill your call, but he definitely doesn't want the wrong kind of person out there revealing themselves and their gifts and not Jesus. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. I find that fascinating because it's like God's mighty hand. I need to say his hand's here and I'm out of line. I come back under and I say, Lord, I surrender and I submit to you. Your will for my life, your plan, your purpose, your grace is sufficient in this place. This is where the power, he gives grace to the humble. What's grace? Grace is the ability to come out of that thing and into blessing. Amen. Empowered to prosper. Blessing comes into your life through humility. Don't stand in a place of pride. Get rid of it. So that God can release power and blessing. It's so hard, isn't it, when somebody else has been wrong and we need to forgive them. Forgiveness doesn't make what they did right. Rape is never right. Adultery is never right. Leaving your partner, I heard a story last night, just walking out via an email of a marriage with family is never right. It just isn't. But if you and I will forgive and humble ourselves under God's hand, knowing that his hand is good, that God is good, God will bring good in your future. But if you stay in the pit and blame and point and accuse and judge and speak negatively and say, God, where are you? You should get me out of here. I'm gifted. It's the wrong heart. It's the wrong spirit. We need to learn from Jesus. Jesus actually said, learn from me. I am gentle. And humble in heart. And you will find rest for your soul when you come to me and learn from me. I'm going to read about our Savior, who we love, Jesus, from Philippians. Just listen to these words. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Your attitude, my attitude, should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held onto. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself. God humbled himself. And if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for us. He humbled himself and became obedient. He was an obedient servant. Humility is actually obeying what God says to do with your life. That's humility. Believing what God says about you and doing what God says to do. That's humility, following Jesus with your life. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross, the most cruel and awesome death. That, therefore, God has exalted him to the highest place. Now, I want you to see this. Because Jesus has made himself the lowest, and he took on the form of a servant, he died the death of a criminal. He who was out without sin, this is what he did. God has exalted him. The path to going up is going down. The path to being raised and coming into what God has for your life, the great things God has for you, is humility. The way is to go down under God's mighty hand, and God will in due time lift you up. It may not be immediate, but God will raise you and lift you into place. Joseph ended up being lifted. Everywhere he worked, he was a servant. He served for the best interests of whoever he was serving. He served 100% for Potiphar. He served in the prison. He served in the palace. It didn't matter where he was, he had taken on the form of a servant. I'm here to serve. I'm not here to show off. Joseph had had a change, which is why God could put him in a very high place and use him to deliver his own people and the whole of that world in that day from famine. You want to be used by God? You want to be put in positions of influence? Go down. Humble yourself, and God will raise you in due season. It's such an important message. Jesus laid aside his royalty. He took off his robes, and he took on the form of a servant. And he is our greatest example of how we should too walk as Jesus walked. I met a lady this week in Kingsbridge because I went to visit my brother for a day, my two brothers actually. And we ended up going to Kingsbridge, having fish and chips, and then catching a ferry from Kingsbridge to Salcombe to see the celebration of the regatta fireworks. Awesome. I loved it. It was great. Loved it. And then come back to Kingsbridge and go home. Well, it started off with fish and chips that I don't normally have, because if I do, it's expansion. It just keeps going. So, but when I have them occasionally, I may as well enjoy it. So if I'm going to do it, let's do it and enjoy it, rather than, I shouldn't be doing this. May as well celebrate and diet tomorrow. So I'm having fish and chips with, there's 10 butlers. They're all butlers. And we kind of got these, on the estuary, there's some benches. We got these three benches, which we were all able to sit round. My nephews, nieces, my brothers and their wives. And there's me, odd one in. And then there's, bless her, there's lady sitting here on the end seat. 10 butlers, one outsider. And I just felt for her, because we're all just having a laugh and eating fish and chips. And I said, want a chip? Because I just thought she's being left out. You know, and you don't like it, do you? If you've got an all-in crowd and we need... So I said, fancy a chip? No, thank you. She just smiled at me. And she was probably about 60-ish. And she just quite content sitting there. And I said, I thought, everybody else is having a laugh. She's just sitting there. So I said, are you on holiday? She said, no, I've just been to a funeral. And I said, oh, gosh, I am sorry. And she said, no. She knew where she was going. She was 98. She lived a good life. I said, oh, fantastic. I know where I'm going. I thought, here's a chance. And she said, I know where I'm going. I said, well, I hope you're going where I'm going. How are you getting there? And she said, Jesus. I said, yes. And she said, what church do you go to? My brother, who's a bit smart, he's very intelligent, sometimes seems zoned out, but he's a lecturer at a university, and he is very bright. He occasionally cuts in with humor and then goes quiet. So he said, she comes from an unclassified church. So I've got an unclassified church. And I said, well, the rest of you, this lady and all of them were C of E. And I said, what do you do? And she said, well, I actually was the carer of this lady who died. I was her companion. And I live in people's houses and I care and I look after them. And it gives me an amazing opportunity to witness and to show the love of Jesus to people. And I went, I've met a hero. I've met someone who's wearing the cloak of humility, who's a servant for others' good. And I didn't tell her what I did, because some people can say, oh, aren't you special? We're all special, providing we're all wearing the humility robe. But as soon as you put on that bright, shining, look at me, aren't I great? Didn't I do well? Life will fall apart for you. But I just thought, there is the example of Jesus. I met something of Jesus on that bench. And of course, all my relatives, they're churchgoers, they're probably not as bold as I am with my faith. And so they were all talking to a lady about Jesus. So they're getting used to witnessing. Get it out there. You see, that's all part of pride, is you don't want to look uncool or rejected. Witnessing, take off the pride and tell everybody about the only one that can change or help their lives. Derobe and put on a servant. We're here. Jesus said, I haven't come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many. She was an unknown, but heaven knew all about her. And God will raise the humble, but the proud he sees from far off. The tests will come to us all. Tests against our own pride, which sometimes we don't even know we've got until we're in a situation. Has anybody been there? Yeah. Suddenly it's like, whoa! It's happened to me this week. Something came out and I went, I failed. I didn't pass. And I said, sorry. And I've asked God to help me to change. Because we're in a process. We are amazing in Christ, but we're not totally amazing in our character yet. And we're becoming more and more like Jesus. That's the goal. That people see Jesus, that he increases, and that I decrease. But the tests actually will come, and actually, it's not like school where you fail fifth grade and then you choose a different career. They just have to be retaken and then retaken and then retaken until you pass. Because God will take you through the tests so that you can come through shining for Jesus. The door of humility is a door. Now, I'm just going to use this illustration because Jesus said, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. But he who humbles himself will be exalted. And it's like this is, let's say this is me, needing more humility in my life. We could say that about all of us, could we? If you're saying I'm ever so humble, you've got pride. Oh, I'm ever so humble. Oh, I'm really humble, me. So it catches us all. So say this is me. And when I first got saved, I had to, one of the things we have to humble ourselves is that God's word is true. The authority of God and his word, that he is Lord of my life. And I have to humble myself under what he says, not what I think. So that could be my brain, the first door. And sometimes my brain can pop up again and again, the red door. But if I go through that, it's amazing. I experience power, grace. I experience God, and God can use me in a greater way. If I bow, I can be changed and then used for greater fruit. But it's like almost the door keeps getting lower. If you've been saved and following Jesus for a short while, you will find, by my own experience, that it's like you just got to keep bowing lower and lower because there's more and more that God wants to do through us. You need to say less about you, more about Jesus. You need to serve others more and not be the object of, well, they didn't talk to me. They didn't. Be a servant. Lift people up. And it gets so small that you won't see me anymore. Do it, Lord, in me. I know it's a bit painful sometimes, but I love it when it happens. Now, this is the final story before we finish. And it happened. My story comes from the boat on the way to the fireworks at Sulcum. The whole family got on the boat, and we were able to bring, we had to pay tickets for this boat and to see this firework display. And it was awesome to be on the water. There were about 2,000 small craft all the way through this estuary. And the fireworks were like, I'm the noisiest there. I can't believe how noisy I am in compared to some English people. I'm like, wow, oh, what, look at that. And everybody's going. I'm like, you'd have been noisier. But, you know, I'm like, I enjoy saying, wow, isn't that, oh, look at that. You're saying to my niece, Kimberly, look at that, it's awesome. And the kids start to warm up a bit, but everybody stays quiet. So anyway, I'm going, oh, brilliant. Anyway, the journey, I happened to sit, so all the family, there's quite a few of us, so we all have to sit in a bit, sort of semicircle on different benches. And there was one bench that was kind of made for two wider people, so it's quite two large adults or three. So you could have a child there. So I'm sitting there and it's empty. Well, this man comes to sit next to me. And to be honest, I have to be honest with you, he was quite rude. He was quite a rude man. You know, that was the real picture. I'm not. So I smiled at him and he turned his back. I thought, oh, okay. I carry on, you know. I don't let these things bother me. If somebody wants to be like that, carry on up the car. Yeah, well, anyway. So there they are. And he turned to me like this and he said, I want my wife to sit there. Now, my flesh is as bad as yours. And I sat there thinking to myself, while still looking saved. Do you know what I mean? I'm a Christian outside, but inside, I paid for this. I got here first. This is my seat. And anyway, you're rude. You're not old, because I'd have given it up. You're not infirm, because I'd have given it up. There is no reason, apart from you're late and rude. And so, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. Give it up. Oh, Lord, I paid for it. I got here first. He said, well, I got here first. And I humbled myself before you ever received anything. You were rude. You were a sinner. And I gave up everything for you anyway. And my flesh is still bad. It's still fighting. I've just got to go. And you know when the Lord wants you to do something and there's war? It's like fight. A fight is on. And you know what can rise is a bit of self-righteousness? I'm the head and not the tail. It's amazing what quotations you can come out with. The Lord has called me to reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Don't they know how gifted I am? I want to thank the Lord that the Lord won. And I want to give him the glory. Because without him in my life, I wouldn't have done the right thing. You understand that? Without him, we can't change. But he helps us. But I had to make the decision. So I turned to this rude man. And just as an act of will, not too much of a smile, I said, she can have my seat. And by the way, I didn't do it with a trumpet. That would have been total failure. Come in, Ferry. Could you put this over the tannoy? I am moving. I didn't do that. I just said quietly, they both can have my seat. I'll move when they come. And he went, with his back to me. Huh? And he was shocked. And I was shocked. We were all shocked. Anyway, my brother hutched up a bit and I sat next to this kind of lady who was the other side of me. And she was happy for me to be squeezed in. But anyway, as soon as I took the step, the wife came in with the child. And I stood up quietly, sat down, I said, here. And I paid for this. But as I did it, it's like God gives grace. Do you know? I have to say, I was the happiest person on that boat. You couldn't. And the thing is, before I did that, I was uncomfortable on the inside. Very comfortable on the out. You know, it was serving me to sit there. But I know the joy, don't you, of when you give up your rights and you say, not my will, I'm just a servant. And if this man never knows that I'm a Christian, you know, Lord, that I did the right thing for an audience of one. And sometimes we're fighting for things we should be giving up. Often when marriages are falling apart, both parties just wanted to proclaim how right they are. But if both would humble themselves under God's mighty hand and become servants, you would have the best marriages. If you're in financial trouble, say sorry. If you're in debt, say sorry. Say, I humble myself, Father. I humble myself under your word. You say to tithe, I'm going to humble myself. It's humility to do the will of God. And in due season, you're going to be raised. There are greater things ahead for us. And I know we're not all here this morning. It's a holiday season, but there's great things for us as a church. Amen. There is amazing fruit ahead in our future. But let's walk humbly before the Lord. And let's clothe ourselves with humility towards one another so that people can see Jesus. And it's not about us, is it? You see, insecurity is actually one of the problems about pride. Because you're not secure in your gift. You're not secure that if you step down, God will use you anyway. If you humble yourself, God has a plan. His plan never changes. You might not be in the place you thought you'd be. Sometimes I think, Lord, I didn't think it would be like this. But I'm a servant. I'm not a king. King of my own life. You understand? Yes, I am king, a king before God in terms of ruling for his name. But it's in his name and it's in his character that we reign in life. That was reigning in life, giving up my seat. What an unusual reign. And what a wonderful kingdom we have. Let's stand, shall we? Thank you, Jesus.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186, or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.